Some people don't trust doctors, and some doctors don't believe everything their patients tell them. But imagine if your doctor came from a different culture and spoke a different language. Imagine that you could not communicate at all. This is not a hypothetical dilemma. It happens every day in every city in America. But there's a growing movement in medical schools to teach doctors how to bridge cultural divides. NPR's Margot Adler reports.
When medical students, interns, and residents come to Columbia University Medical Center in Washington Heights, near the northern tip of Manhattan, they are often given a talk by police. They're told the neighborhood is dangerous. Allison Eliscu is a second-year resident in community pediatrics at Columbia, and she says she got this message not only from the police, but also from her parents.
The first thing they told me was, don't go anywhere by yourself, don't travel more than 2 blocks from the hospital, and don't be there after dark, and don't live near there. And so that was my introduction to Columbia.
But on a bright fall day, she is meeting other doctors in this neighborhood, eating at a Latino restaurant, and then visiting the homes of patients she treats, some living below the poverty line.
Oh, dear.
She's starting to talk. I see that. Is she taking any of the rice cereal?
Yes.
And what kind of fruits and vegetables is she eating? Have you advanced it?
Yes, the pears.
Perfect.
The apples.
Perfect.
Pediatrics professor Hetty Cunningham is watching Eliscu examine the baby. She says these home visits give medical residents a sense of their patients and the families that they could never get in a clinic.
Just going into the home, you get such a feel for the emotional and familial surroundings of the child. It's just amazing. When we first walk in the building, is it a building that appears safe? Is the door locked? Does it look like an area where the mom can go outside with her child and play on the street or go to a playground? We've gone on visits where we're like, okay, so how much medication are you giving? And the person will say, well, 1.5. And we'll say, well, show me what that is. And instead of being 1.5 cc's, it's 1.5 teaspoons.
Community pediatrics focuses on the community as a whole. In this case, the 60,000 children in Washington Heights. Many people in community health use buzzwords like cultural competency and overcoming ethnic disparities in healthcare. It's often hard to know what these phrases mean. But it's pretty clear what they're doing at Columbia University Medical Center. They have been working for 10 years to increase cultural awareness between doctors and patients. Washington Heights is 72% Latino, largely Dominican, but there are also many Mexicans, Ecuadorians, and some newcomers from the Middle East. Residents and medical students are introduced to the community through a walking tour of the neighborhood to see the bodegas, the beauty shops, travel agencies, a daycare center. Dr. Dodie Meyer, a 42-year-old dark-haired dynamo, has been leading the effort to bring cultural awareness to the 4 schools of medicine at Columbia University, the School of Medicine, Nursing, Dentistry, and Public Health. She tells the young doctors,
know your streets, know your schools, know the parks. The same way as pediatricians, we need to know the TV cartoons. We need to know what kids' lives are like. Just walk, just go into the streets. You need to know what it's in the bodegas, what type of food they sell. We have an obesity epidemic. Is there low-fat milk? Is there low-fat yogurt? You know, what is there in order to get a sense that what you're telling your patients have a sense in real life?
Meyer is originally from Argentina. She had noticed over the years at Columbia that often doctors had trouble getting through to their patients. She says, suppose a kid comes in with asthma, an epidemic in this community, and you write a prescription for Flovent.
I can know asthma treatment by heart and know how Flovent works, but if the patient cannot understand my handwriting and doesn't understand the concept of prophylaxis and doesn't understand that asthma is a chronic illness, that Flovent will not be inhaled by that child.
Suppose she says, I give a patient good advice about diet and exercise and wonder why it seems to fall on deaf ears.
But I never checked if there's a place that these people can afford to exercise, or there's a safe park where there are no drugs or crime that the kids can go and run.
The single most important determinant of health, she says, isn't antibiotics or shots or hospital beds, it's poverty. Although there are cultural competency programs in many medical schools around the country, what's different about Columbia's program is that it has become partners with a large Dominican community service organization.
Welcome to Alianza Dominicana.
Milagros Batista, an activist and a founder of Alianza, is the community liaison for the community pediatrics program. After taking the group to a daycare center that's part of Alianza, she leads them to a place many of them find strange, a botanica, a home remedy shop. Herbs and plants are in boxes on the floor. The shelves are lined with candles, oils, and floor washes with the names of saints and various deities. The doctors are very quiet. Batista says her community comes to this place for physical, emotional, and spiritual help.
We visit this place as much as we visit the doctors and as much as we visit church.
She picks up a plant that's called insulina that's used for diabetes. The young doctors want to know whether this is used instead of prescription drugs or alongside. Batista tells them the important thing is to make your patients feel comfortable enough to begin that conversation.
This is what you need to know that they're taking, that they can feel free and say, I'm taking this. And it will be up to the doctors to really get that conversation going.
Before they take the walking tour, all the residents fill out reflection cards, a list of what they think the neighborhood will be like. Some of the adjectives they use are poor, rundown, Spanish-speaking. Dan Weiser is a first-year resident. After the tour, he said his impressions of the neighborhood had really changed.
It seemed full of energy and just happiness.
After the tour, most of the reflection cards use words that were richer in meaning, like hardworking, vibrant. Similarly, Meyer says this program has led many in the community to say things like, for the first time we can view doctors as people. Meyer has collected hundreds of these cards, but she admits it's hard to measure real change.
The key question is, how is this transcribed into real differences in clinical practice? That's a very hard thing to measure.
The Columbia Project is funded by the Dyson Initiative, which is also supporting 9 other projects in community pediatrics around the country. The initiative is also funding a national evaluation at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. It will track residents 5 and 10 years down the road to see if their long-term practice is affected. Meyer and Batista say they started doing their program before they had a name for what they were doing, before there were phrases like cultural competency. They just knew that communication across cultures was necessary. Originally, they say, many pediatric residents were cool to the idea of spending so much time in the community, but now they say many choose Columbia because of this program. On one of the home visits, Milagros Batista watches second-year resident Catherine Yen examine a patient.
How much is he eating now?
5 ounces.
Every how many hours?
Every 3 to 4 hours.
3 to 4 hours. Oh, I can't wait to weigh him. He looks twice his size.
You can see these are going to be our future doctor. What a difference.
Batista says she doesn't have to wait for the results of the Johns Hopkins study. She can already see these young doctors changing. Margo Adler, NPR News, New York.